The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, and the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Merry Christmas! Here's a Christmas question for you. What are we celebrating at Christmas? Now, I could imagine that the priest asking that question to the start of a Christmas morning sermon may not inspire confidence. Especially since you all are the Green Berets of the faith, the sophisticated members of the faithful who come out for the Christmas Day service. Sure, Christmas Eve has all the razzle-dazzle, the crowds, the pageants, and the like, but you're the ones who've come for the more theological deep dive. So to be greeted with a question like, "What are we celebrating on Christmas?" may seem a bit strange. I could imagine you are wondering about my credentials as a priest, like, shouldn't she know the answer to that? But let's stick with the question for a moment, because here's why I ask. Often when we hear it described, we think of this as Jesus's birthday, the celebration of when Jesus was born. I've even been at church settings before where kids sing happy birthday to Jesus as part of the pageant, and there's nothing wrong with that, because it is. It's Jesus' birthday. But Christmas is not simply only that. If it were, then check out your readings for today. Where is the baby Jesus? Where are the angels announcing to certain poor shepherds in fields where they lay? Where are Mary and Joseph being turned away at the inn? Where is that 8-pound, 6-ounce newborn infant little boy swaddled in cloths, Jesus? He isn't there in our gospel. Well, not in that form, at least. Instead, we're given the prologue to the Gospel of John, the beautiful, at least a little bit inscrutable puzzle that is this cosmic mystery. listens to these words again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. Jesus' name isn't really mentioned there. But you see, this is wise on the lectionary chooser's parts, because Christmas is not simply a birthday party. It's not just a memorial service for something that happened 2,000 years ago. Christmas is about the true fullness of the incarnation, the fullness of God with us and in us, the Christ. And that is why it still matters today. In the Christian faith, we talk about the two natures of Christ. This doctrine teaches that Jesus Christ is both fully God and fully human, without confusion, change, division, or separation. In other words, he's not half human and half divine. He's fully human and fully divine. This mystery is at the heart of our faith. And it's such good news, because Jesus, as fully human, shares our experiences, our struggles, our sufferings. But Jesus, as fully divine, reveals God's love and power in his life, death, and resurrection. In Christ, the divine nature of Jesus, we see that all creation is touched by God. Thus, we need both parts of Jesus. It's why we call him Jesus the Christ. Christ is not like his last name. It's a title for him. Now, this all may sound like perhaps some boring doctrine, incomprehensible and inconsequential for our lives. And in fact, if Christmas really was just a birthday party for Jesus, then it might be inconsequential to our lives. Amazing, something we want to celebrate, but not something that affects us every day. But the Feast of Christmas is intentionally two parts, focusing on the two natures of Jesus. And it shows this way the importance in our life. The first part, the Christmas Eve part, as I mentioned, focuses on the humanity of Jesus, the amazement that God would come to choose to live with us as a vulnerable child and then die a vulnerable death on the cross. But this is not the only part of the story that we hear. On Christmas, we're supposed to also read this John passage. That would have been done as a series of night vigils in the ancient church. In fact, it's not unlike the Easter Vigil, where we read all the story of God's saving work through Scripture before Easter morning. For example, in the ancient Celtic tradition, Christmas services were held outside around a fire as the sun was setting 3 days after the winter solstice, mirroring the 3 days after the crucifixion before Jesus rose again. Those are the longest, darkest nights of the year. And during the night, on Christmas Eve, you would hear all the accounts of Jesus' birth at different intervals throughout the night. And as the sun rose on Christmas morning, the prologue of John was read to the new light, the new dawn, and the lengthening of days returning. At dawn, we would hear the herald's cry, "The light shines in the darkness," and the darkness did not overcome it. And our liturgy still retains this pairing, because that's the Christ part of Christmas, the nature of God's cosmic love that John is talking about today, that infuses the entirety of creation with the love and wisdom of God. The Christ part was supposed to be the crescendo of the story as it is today. But it would not matter, as I said, if it had stopped with a little baby being born in a manger 2,000 years ago. The Christ part is for us, for you, for me, and for the entire universe, because that is the part that lives in us still and is born anew today. The part of us that is from God and in God and is God. So this might lead to another question. If Christmas is not just about the birth of Jesus, but also about the cosmic love of God that unites us all, then why is the baby Jesus part of the story more associated with Christmas than the cosmic side of Christ side of the story? Why is the big celebration mostly focusing on that first half, the first nature of Jesus? Well, I have a theory on that. If we took the incarnation seriously, then we would have to take seriously the responsibility that comes with being the Christ. In the Christian view, we believe that all who are baptized are Christ, are one with Christ, are the full body of Christ. And that means that we have to do what John's gospel describes as Christ's action in the world, the Word's action, to fully live, to help others to do so too, to be truth, to heal, to unite, to be the light of this world. We are to be that for this whole planet. It would be way easier if it were just Jesus who had to be Christ in the world. We want to celebrate Jesus and all the good he stands for, but it's way harder to do the standing ourselves. The Celts took this so seriously that they didn't just end the Christmas vigil with John's prologue. They would end every single Eucharist throughout the year, kneeling at the end of the service by the door and read it again, to be reminded that as they left this place, they were bringing the Word of God to all, to be Christ for the world. So today, we remember this best news of all, the thing we really, truly celebrate on Christmas, that both things are true. In Jesus, we have God who has come to be with us, to do the hard work of peace building in this world. And in the Word made flesh, the Christ, we have been given all that we need to actually accomplish it. We remember that Jesus was born 2,000 years ago, and we remember that the Christ is born anew in us today. The manger is not complete without the cross. Jesus is not complete without the Christ. Christmas is not complete without us. That is what Christmas is. And we could easily miss it if we only heard one side of the story. That's why I'm so glad to be with you here today, to hear both sides, to hear the story anew, and to let Christ be born in our hearts again. So Merry Christmas, my friends. May you find the light of Jesus the child lighting your way to hope, and may you be the light of Christ, shining that same path for others. Amen.